Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Midt under coronakrisen var vi rigtig mange, der blev nødt til at arbejde hjemmefra, sådan at endnu mere end vores arbejde end normalt foregik online. Og det galt ikke kun for os på arbejde, det galt også for dem, der går i skole, ikke bare i Danmark, men i store dele af Europa. Og i takt med, at meget mere af vores liv det foregik online, så fulgte de kriminelle med, og konsekvensen af den udvikling skal du høre om i dag i det interview, jeg har fundet frem. Det er med Europols direktør Katrine de Bol, der i lockdown-dagene fortalte Thomas Lauritsen om de kriminelles nye fokus online. Det indebar eksempelvis hackerangreb på hospitaler og salg af falske produkter. Europol-direktøren kom med flere udførlige eksempler på, hvad der egentlig skete online, og hvorfor netop den udvikling skete, og det synes jeg gør interviewet interessant. Derfor kan du lytte til det her. Det blev i første omgang udgivet 6. april 2020, så kan du enten lytte til det igen, eller hvis du missede det dengang, så kan du få hendes pointer med nu. God fornøjelse.
Parlamentet er sponsoreret af 3F. Fordi Danmark fortjener fair journalistik om EU.
We see that there is less criminality on the streets. So we see that we have an increase of criminality on streets, but we have a decrease of criminality on streets, but we have an increase of cyber criminality and counterfeited goods. What we see is that burglaries are now done in commercial premises and medical facilities. We also have thefts of lorries with medical equipment that has been reported already. And what we also see is that there is a refocus from criminals towards vulnerable elder people. So they use then the grandmother nephew trick, which means that they try to contact an older person. They tell her or him that the nephew is hospitalized and infected by the virus and that they have to continue with a test at home with this person. So that is the way how they try to get in the houses of elder people and then they commit their acts.
Okay. I've seen in some of the material from Europol that there are also problems with counterfeit materials. How does that take place, for instance?
What we see is that the criminal organizations are very flexible and agile. When we saw the pandemic in the European Union, we immediately saw an increase of counterfeit goods. And we can say that the selling of these counterfeit goods is booming at the moment. Why is that? Because there is a high demand from people to goods to protect themselves towards medication. So the high demand for these goods gives the inspiration to criminal organizations to sell counterfeit goods through the dark web, for instance.
And what kind of goods are that? Is it medicine?
Yeah, medicines, pharmaceutical products. We also see certain types of healthcare and sanitary products like clothes and equipment, gloves. And we also see the distribution of counterfeit COVID-19 tests. And we can say that all these goods and tests, they have a negative impact on the health of the citizens in the European Union and and globally.
There's also a rise in cybercrime. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yes. Criminals are very active in the cyber world. The impact of the pandemic is most visible over there. And we see a sharp increase in cybercrime. What is really worrying us is that we see more and more attacks towards critical infrastructures. And what is a critical infrastructure at now? It's a hospital, of course, medical infrastructures, supermarkets. We see that the phishing mails in the send out in the beginning of the crisis and until now are more and more related to sophisticated attacks of this criminal infrastructure. which causes a lot of problems. We have a case in the Czech Republic where we had a cyber attack towards a hospital. Due to the attack, the IT system had to be closed down, and several urgent medical interventions could not take place. So if you have the combination of the health crisis and an attack to your health system, to hospitals, then it worsens the crisis.
But what's the point of attacking a hospital? What's in it for the criminals?
The ransom they got out of it. So they always ask money to give you the key to deblock again and to have access to your data. It's always about money for criminals. What we also see that has changed for criminal groups is that criminal groups active in the cyber area, they are now actively recruiting collaborators because they need specialists for their cyber attacks. So the issue of crime as a service is very, very actual at the moment. And what we also see is that the period between the initial infection with the ransomware and the activation of the ransomware attack is much shorter. So they don't wait anymore to the ideal moment to launch the attack. A new thing we discovered this week is that inexperienced group, criminal groups who were not active in cybercrime, criminal group in cybercrime, they now commit attacks, but their phishing mails does not always lead to an attack because they do not have the experience to launch an attack.
So what they actually do, to put it in another way, is they take, for instance, a hospital as a hostage.
Yeah, indeed. That is what they do, yes. Yeah.
Do you have an idea of how widespread these sort of crimes, both these cyber crimes and the others related to the corona crisis, how widespread this is in Europe right now?
We have the issue in all the member states of the European Union. But for instance, for counterfeit goods, that started first in the country who was first affected by the pandemic, so in Italy. And you see, for instance, the issue we have with counterfeit goods, it follows the pandemic because they use the fear of the people in that member states because the people are looking for medication, they are looking for goods to protect themselves, and they are looking for information.
So the countries who are the hardest hit by the virus are also the hardest hit by this sort of crime.
It is the countries who were first affected by the crisis are the first. There we see the most activities of the criminal organizations for counterfeiting goods.
How about a country like Denmark?
There is an increase of child sexual exploitation material online. We do not only see this in Denmark, but we see this in all the member states. But Denmark has reported the increase themselves. This is also the second big issue for us related to cybercrime is the increase of the child abuse material online. And we know this, that this is increasing because we have more information from member states. We see that more and more people are calling the hotlines, and also our dark web team at Europol is monitoring the dark web, and they see that the conversations between criminals, child sexual abuse criminals, and on the forums are going up.
But why do you think that this sort of crisis, health crisis, would make that sort of crime go up?
Because they make use of the fact that children are more vulnerable due to the isolation. There can be less supervision, and the exposure online is bigger. And because of the teleworking and the fact that child sexual abusers cannot travel at the moment, they look for material on the cybernet, on the net, in fact.
Is Denmark fully participating in your work fighting these sort of crimes? Since we have an opt-out, we're not fully members of Europol.
Yeah. We have a very strong agreement that has been signed in 2017 with Denmark. So there is a very good cooperation with Denmark. There is a lot of information exchange. But of course, there are limits in the cooperation. We have to work with the agreement we have, which is good, but it's not like a full member state. The direct access to the Europol information system, for instance, is not there.
Mm. So it's less good, the access Denmark has is less good than if Denmark was a full member.
There is always when you have an opt out and you have to decide on an agreement, it's always a bit less than a full member state. But I can assure you that the collaboration with Denmark is very good, and there is a lot of information exchange. But the limited access is a fact.
Denmark has recently voted as a sort of special emergency law, as many European countries have done at the moment, and the Danish law doubles and in some cases quadruples punishment for crimes, even petty crimes like theft, for instance, if they are related to coronavirus. Is that helpful, and is that the right thing to do right now, do you think?
I cannot make an assessment of the decisions of the authorities in Denmark. What we are doing here at Europol is that we are making the overview of what different member states are doing regarding the pandemic. And we see that this is an evolution in a lot of member states. And I am a strong believer in the fact that governments, they want to take care of their population. They want they don't want to have many, a lot of they want to reduce the number of victims due to the pandemic. So they take decisions they think they have to take. But we see that the evolution is in a lot of countries the same.
Mm-hmm. My last question is, Mrs. Director, what is your advice to European citizens to protect themselves against these corona-related crimes that we see?
First of all, prevention is very important. When you normally live, you close your door when you go out of your house so that nobody can come in. When you access the internet, you have to be sure that you have passwords. You have to look at your children, which websites are they looking at, with whom are they talking or trying to talk through the internet. When you buy goods, you have to be sure that you have to buy from commercial institutions that you know. You used to buy the goods over there. And when you look for information, it's very important that you listen to the government and you listen to the experts, because there you will have the right information. And that you do not look at information that is spread around. So you have to take a lot of preventive action to protect, in fact, yourself, not to buy counterfeit goods, not to buy false tests, and to be sure that when you are teleworking and when you are accessing the World Wide Web, you have to be sure that all the safeguards are in place and that you have a protected environment where you work in. Because criminals want your money and they want your identity. So you have to protect yourself towards that.
Ja, og tak til dig, der lyttede med til vores sidste sommerspecial her i Parlamentet. Podcasten Thomas har forhåbentlig fået ladt batterierne op i ferien oven på Brexit og coronavirus og budgetforhandlinger, så når han til september igen er klar til at følge alle de emner til dørs, når den politiske sæson i EU begynder igen. Mit navn er Henrik Axel Bugler, og vi lyttes ved.
Parlamentet er sponsoreret af 3F, fordi Danmark fortjener fair journalistik om EU.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.